McAllister still going strongly in the closing minutes.
Great run by Kevin McAllister! What a goal that is!
Delivery's good, there's Hagen. Now McGrath, he scored!
It's Stokes on a hat-trick! Goal number three for Anthony Stokes.
Alston saw off Robertson and delivered! Sigurd scores! That's the goal! That's the moment! Samuel off and running again. Is it going to be the hat-trick? You know it is.
This is Falkirk Daft.
Welcome once again to Falkirk Daft, your unofficial podcast dedicated to everything to do with the Bairns, as we look back at our effort as going for five, the world record-breaking Challenge Cup winners, as we took on Partick Thistle on Friday night, and the quest for five continues. We also look to our next league encounter against Clyde in the company of Paul from the official Clyde podcast. We'll have more random encounters with Falkirk players as well on the way, but first let's introduce a man who once played a game of table tennis with Camilla Pongo. That might not be true. It's the ginger god of pod himself. It's Mr. Ross Wayne.
Good evening, sir. How are we?
Ross, I'm just moaning there. I've just had my car in for a service. You know, when you put in your car for an MOT and you're waiting for that dreaded call, or I put in for the service, oh my God, new brake discs, new brake pads, the suspension had come away, obviously plus the service cost, air conditioning, £1,000.
Time for a new motor, buddy.
It's
time
It's getting that way. Do you know what? The next time it goes in for its MOT in January, I'm just hoping that kind of stems the tide. It's all 100,000 miles in the clock anyway. But I'm just gutted, absolutely gutted. Been a great week to be a football supporter, mind you. We had the Dunfermline game, we had Scotland winning, we had England getting beaten, and we had a fantastic game against Partick Thistle on Friday.
We did, and then Scotland got another decent result on Saturday night as well. So
yeah, exactly.
All good. Yeah, no, it's been a cracking week for that.
I know. It's been a good week to be a Falkirk supporter, I would say. We got into a bit of chat. I wanted to talk about this, Ross, because after the hooligan element of the chair throwing at Dunfermline and what have you a couple of weeks back, we got into chat about, on our group chat, we got talking about your favourite football hooligan movie.
Oh, we did, didn't we? That was a good chat. Yeah.
You know, I know you like to show the Stone Island, Ross, so this is your specialist subject. Well, what's your favourite football hooligan movie? Let's have a wee chat about this.
Oh, do you know, I'm going old school. Do you remember ID?
I'm with you on that one. You cannot beat ID.
That was
as a good
brilliant.
Shadwell
Army, the kennel. It was just a proper 80s. Well, I think it was 80s. I'm sure it was 80s. Film in it, typically.
Oh, 90s, mate. It was 90s.
90s. I could have sworn. Well, there you go, then. So, no, listen, that was brilliant. There's been a few, though.
Green Street
was all right. The problem is it was Elijah Wood. And I don't know, as convincing as everybody else was, it was Elijah Wood. And that did they sit right.
Yeah, you can't have Frodo Baggins as a footballer, can you?
I like the original. Do you remember The Firm? The original one.
Yeah.
The newer one isn't bad. The newer one isn't bad, but the original one's the better of the two, I think.
Yeah. Football Factory, you seen that one?
I have, yeah. But then it's Danny Dyer.
Yeah, it's Danny Dyer. Always looking for a rock, mate. Always looking for a rock, that boy.
But the newer Firm wasn't too bad. It was the guy who's in Peaky Blinders plays the sort of top boy, as it was. You seen it, the newer one?
Yeah.
So that one's not too bad. It's a bit of a, it's the same story as the original one, just obviously a modern take on it.
Yeah. So listen, if you want to add to the conversation, we'll maybe stick this up a wee Twitter poll on Falkirk Daft on Twitter, and we can get chatting about football hooligan movies, because we all seem to like that after the events in Dunfermline. Another thing I'd like to chat about, Ross, briefly, is just, obviously we've had an international break there. We were lucky enough that our club were playing. But, you know, it comes back, it's a debate that goes on, club versus country, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, what you prefer. And I was chatting to my wife about this, you know, she goes, well, we were sitting watching the Scotland game, and it's a strange one, isn't it? You feel passion for your country, obviously, but at the same time, you watch Falkirk week in, week out. And she asked me, well, what you know, is it club or country? What do you prefer? And I had to say club. Especially, I think maybe it just depends on how your club's doing at the time. So if you're having a nightmare, like see last 40 years with Falkirk, when the Scotland have done quite well. Maybe they are saying country, but because we're doing so well as a club team at the moment.
It's always been club for me, mate, if I'm being honest. It's been, if you think about it, like see for the club element, you think about it every week. It's not like a once every quarter. Yeah. Don't get me wrong, there's some massive Scotland games and occasions and they're brilliant. And I don't want to say it's not a, like it's not up there because it really is. But if Falkirk and Scotland were playing at the same time, I'm not going to lie. I'd bet the Falkirk game.
Right, here's a question then. Would you rather see Falkirk win the Premiership or Scotland win the World Cup?
I'm going to say the Bairns because I invest more of my time and money and passion into club football. So I'd probably say Falkirk. I know there'd be others who say Scotland winning a World Cup, but see, as long as England don't win it. I can live with that.
Yeah, it's an interesting question, though. Club versus country. It'd be interesting to see where people sit with that. So if you get in touch with us, I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. Falkirk Daft on Twitter, or you can get us on all the usual social media platforms, because like we say, there is a big element of the Falkirk support that really follows Scotland as well, so it'd be interesting to get views on that. Because yeah, it's one for the ages, that. And I think I'm more club. I kind of my realisation is I'm more club now, so
I just think, see, if it came down to it, if the Falkirk and Scotland were playing at the same time, I'd bet the Falkirk game. And I think, don't get me wrong, if it was like, if you're saying it's a Scotland World Cup final versus Falkirk versus Dumbarton, I'm not gonna lie to you and say that that would be a tough thing to pick between. But I think all in all, I'd probably pick the Bairns.
Yeah, I think so. And shout out to Stephen Kingsley, obviously former Bairn, getting called up into the squad this week with the amount of injuries. God knows what formation he's going to play come this week, because we've got all our Che Adams, London Dykes both look as if they're not going to make it now. All the fullbacks are gone, most of the centre halves are gone, so it's going to be like 10 in midfield.
A bit like a Craig Levein special, but all in midfield. Yeah, did I see that they were all out for dinner last night, and that's where this has all transpired from?
Oh, is that maybe what it is, that they've all
the Rick Tom kitchen?
I know. Well, we'll wait and see what happens to Scotland, but good luck to the boys against Ukraine. Hopefully we can get into that group A and get it up England, which is always great. Right, bits and bobs from the club. We see the Isle game's been rearranged to Tuesday the 18th of October, 7:45 kickoff under the floodlights at the stadium. Good news is that's October week, so a lot of people are off, including me and you, Ross.
Ideal. Happy with that. Yeah, I know there's a few people who are probably going to be away on holiday and stuff, but I think it's a good call. There's probably going to be a large amount of kids that are maybe Norway, and it helps kind of get families along at the stadium as well. So, no, I think they've done a good job getting that in. Plus, it's in before the Dunfermline game as well. So, it'd be nice to imagine playing them in November and we're either above them or able to go above them at that game. Oh, it'd be amazing.
No, absolutely. So early start for us. We'll be in Elliot's from 5 o'clock then, Ross. Is that right? Yeah.
Probably. Yeah.
Once you get your permission slip signed, or once we both get our permission slip signed. Shout out to the club as well. Strathcairn Hospice, they launched the Great Big Falkirk Raffle. I think everybody knows someone or has been involved with Strathcairn Hospice at some point. So obviously, as a club, it's great that we're getting behind this. Tickets are available to buy online right now, www.strathcairnhospice.net/event/GreatBigFalkirkRaffle. You'll find it on there. £1,000 cash in a hospitality package at the Bairns Christmas Eve fixture as well. A signed shirt and a ball as well for the top prize in that. A lot of other good golfing prizes as well.
Absolutely. Listen, you're right. Everybody does know someone. And a shout out to a guy, a massive Bairns fan who most of us will probably know, Gary Hill. He's been getting a lot of treatment at Strathcairn. I know he's not quite finished his treatment in general, but big shout out to Gary. Still fighting and massive Bairns fan, and fingers crossed.
Yeah, absolutely. So get behind that if you can. We've appointed Kenny McDonald as our new disability access officer. That's to help the club make an inclusive environment for all supporters and visitors. He's a lifelong supporter of the club. Don't know Kenny. He's been season ticket holder for 20 euros. Any initiative like this that helps fans is obviously applauded by me, and I'm sure yourself as well, Ross.
Yep, absolutely. Anything that kind of helps bring everybody along to the games, should they want to do so, is a huge thing. So yeah, hopefully Kenny does really, really well. And as you say, anything that kind of helps get people along to the stadium in a safe environment, if that's what they need, brilliant. Yep.
So let's get into the game, Ross. And every week in Falkirk Daft, we like to get a guest pundit on to talk about the game. We're obviously talking about the big game against Thistle and the Cup on Friday night. And that pundit this week is Mr. Andrew Welsh. How are you doing, Andrew?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for having us, John. Looking for it. I've got some big boots to fill after Brian Stewart last week. And then a couple of weeks ago, you had young Gavin McLaren on.
Listen, thanks for coming on, mate. I'm sure it'd be absolutely great. Listen, just we want to find out from everyone, first of all, what their story is about getting into the Bairns, when your first game was, when that all happened.
Well, it was a long time ago. I think it was about 1985. My dad wasn't into football, but I kind of persuaded him, and it was a midweek game, and we played Aberdeen, and we drew 3-3 at Broville. And I can mind, I think it was my grandpa lifted me over the turnstile, and he says, "I'll catch you at the other end, eh?" And then it was a great game, and it was when Aberdeen were doing well with Sir Alec Ferguson and Wally Muller and that, eh? And then, as I say, that was just my first memories, and I just got hooked on it. It's like a roller coaster once you're on it.
You don't have to tell us about it, Andrew. Out with the Holy Trinity, Andrew. Who's your favourite forward player? I've decided to pre, you know, because we can all say either Latapy, McAllister, or Stainrod. So that now on, I've decided, Ross, that we're just going to ask, who's your favourite player out with
the Trinity? Yeah,
out with the Trinity. It's quite an unusual. I like Victor Lima. Obviously, he didn't get much of the credit because Latapy was in the team, but he was the other Portuguese boy, Thiago Rodrigues, eh? That was, and obviously Pedro Montinho, eh? That was a good era for us, too.
I had a Lima as well. I thought he was a great player. I liked him in a very similar player, Riera. I love those kind of
unsung heroes, aren't they?
Yeah, there's boys in. Bit of digging midfield, kind of like what Stephen McGinn does for us now, but they put digging in the midfield, they win the ball, they just pass it out, simple passes, but always kind of looking ahead. I love those kind of players, so I'm with you on Lima.
I think Tom Tyre must be up there as well.
Aye.
He was hard as nails and he gave everything.
Absolutely. Great shout there as well. Going to ask you this question because we've been asking for the last couple of weeks as well. Andrew, have you had a random encounter with a Falkirk player at any point?
Aye, the first game of last season, I ran on the park and cuddled Carol Morrison when he scored.
Brilliant, there we go. Can't get much better than that. Did you get lifted?
No, I pulled my hamstring getting back over the fence.
brilliant. Well, we'll get more of your random encounters a bit later on the podcast, but let's talk about the big game on Friday night. They are 2-0 to the Bairns. The mission to get 5 in the bag continues, as we said. Burrow and Oliver for us. One change, which was surprising, actually, we'll talk about that, is Paddy Martin came in for Nicky Hogarth. Ross, I thought there would be more changes for than that.
I thought so as well. Obviously, we talked about it last week on the basis that we would make a few changes, Thistle would make a few changes, but yeah, there was only the one. I thought some of the other ones would have got some game time, Lawal, and who else did we say? We thought Kai Kennedy might have got a start as well, but do you know what? Fair play to him, McGlynn. He's went for the win, and we got it, and we got it so well. So, fair play. Absolutely fair play.
Andrew, were you surprised that it was the goalkeeper that got chopped?
I was talking, there's a Raith Rovers supporter at my work, and he says that McGlynn done similar, because obviously they've won the cup the last 2 years, and yeah. The only thing he done was change the goalie, kept a strong team, he was all the way through the tournament, so I think that's what he believes in. changing the goalie.
That's interesting, because maybe that, you know, you see that happen a lot with when European games, there's usually a European goalie, and you know. But I'd be interested to see if he continues with that, you know, and if Nick, well, we'd be able to tell if Nicky comes back in at the weekend, maybe that's what he does. He just wants to get the goalies a run out, because it's obviously easier for players to get a run out than it is a goalkeeper. So that's interesting that he does that. So we'll keep an eye out for that in the further cup matches. Good to see Craig Sibbald sitting in the stands. He wasn't far away from us, Ross.
No, it was great. You know, I think he was there with his mum, which is two big Falkirk fans, so absolutely brilliant. Good to see him back at the stadium. It's just a shame he's not got he had never had his boots on and he playing for us. But do you know, I don't know if it was you that said it on Friday night, John. Obviously, there's a change of manager at Tannadice now, and you wonder if that'll be maybe his longer term. I don't mean back at Falkirk, but you wonder if longer term future will be at Tannadice. He's good enough, so hopefully it is. But yeah, great to see, big Bairns fan, and yeah, great to see him back.
Yeah, another interesting spectator was actually, I didn't know this, but Neil Lennon was there. I didn't realise it was his son, Gallagher Lennon, that was on the bench for Thistle.
Yeah, I never saw that until after the game as well, but yeah, he didn't get on though, did he? His son.
No, he didn't. No, he didn't get on, but he must have been in the stands actually, but I didn't see him at the game. Must have been back from Cyprus because the international break. However, really interesting, I didn't know his son's called Gallagher Lennon, and Liam Gallagher's son's called Lennon Gallagher.
He's obviously done it that way, isn't he? Because, well, actually, they must be about the same age. Maybe not about the same age, like late teens.
Very random, though. Very random.
It is random, yeah. I assume Neil Lennon wasn't in the Falkirk King, because that wouldn't have went well.
Don't think it would went well, depending whatever end he was in, mate, I'll be honest with you.
Maybe just sat at the east side with no one else.
potentially. But yeah. So looking at that starting 11, I mean, you can't really argue with it now, but I'd like to see Lawal get a start, to be honest with you.
His mum and sister was up. I met them outside.
Oh, did you? I saw them actually. I saw them running up after the match to see them, because I passed them on my way out.
I know, it was funny, John, because I was coming down to the stadium and I was a wee bit later because I was waiting on my oldest lassie finishing her work, and they asked me to take a photo of them outside the stadium, and I said to them, who are you here to support? Obviously, it must have been him or Burrow, and she said, we're here to watch, and they were up for the weekend, eh?
Oh, brilliant.
Well, that's good that the boys, they're getting up and they're obviously seeing their family again as well, because
they said that he's happy there and the changing room's happy, eh? So that's kind of a good sign as well.
Absolutely. You know, and the club obviously take care. I mean, for a young boy his age to come up to like Scotland, or you know, foreign climes, and getting put into a league that he's probably not familiar with, and set, it's good to see that he's hopefully settling in up here, and certainly doing it on the park, which we'll talk about a bit later on. Surprised that there was no changes. I'd like to see maybe McGuffey and Oliver, maybe a little bit of, you know, Lawal coming on, but our main man, Burrow, started again, and he looked absolutely brilliant.
He's unplayable the new way. He's just continued on from where he left off at Dunfermline, eh?
Yeah. I mean, full of pace, drives at people, got his goal as well. You know, great cross from McGuffey, good finish from him.
Aye, I mean, he doesn't give defenders a minute, and I didn't think he kens at times what he's going to do with the ball. He gets the fans off the seat. When he gets the ball, you think something's going to happen, eh?
It does seem
I like John though, he's always got his head up, he's looking for a pass, like he's not just one dimensional, I better run at goal. And I'm not saying we've got somebody in the team who's like that, but he looks up, he tries to pick a pass, and did he not set up a couple of the chances as well that we had in the first half?
I mean, obviously Burrell got his goal really early on there in the first 10 minutes, but before that, you were screaming at McGuffey when that chance fell to him. When right in front, you know, all he needed to do was hit it first time. You know, he took a touch and then, it was really frustrating. You know, he obviously hates his right foot.
I think he just uses it for standing on at times, eh? But I mean,
he has scored with remember at Clyde last year, he scored with his right foot and it was a brilliant finish. So you're right, John. He should have just absolutely swung at it with his right foot and it probably would have went in.
I know. But you just thought at that point, oh, God, this could be one of those nights. But, I mean, we looked so comfortable in that match.
We could have won it about four or five. We had five chances in the first half alone. And then after Gary Oliver scored, I think we got another couple of chances at the end when we hit the post. And Carl Morrison missed a chance.
Yeah, I mean, it was. We started so strong, and I think that's really set a precedent for the whole match, Ross.
We did. We were at them from the first minute, and when we scored, it was like, this has been coming. So it was very, very one-sided, especially the first half. I think the second half, they came in. Did they make a change or two at halftime? I think yeah, they did. Yeah. And you could tell McCall was a wee bit ratted. You saw him on the bench as well.
He had a clipboard. It looks like he was going to try and sign you up for Save the Children or something like that.
They'd be better off trying to do that on Friday night than managing the team anyway. But they weren't at it. And do you know, they weren't at it though because we were in their faces from the first minute. Yeah. And I know they made a lot of changes and stuff, right? But they still had a big players in there that have played a lot of championship football. So it was by no means a weakened side. They've got a strong squad.
Yeah, we'll hear from John McGlynn in a bit, but he got quite ratty when Lewis suggested about the changes, but we'll hear that in a bit. But yeah, a big penalty shout as well in that first half. I didn't think at the time, but when you look back and the replay and the highlights of it, that was definitely, for me, a handball. Referee missed that one.
It was a handball, and the one after it with Finn Yates got taken out. I feel this season, well, not just this season, but last season, a lot of referees give teams more decisions than us. I don't know if that's a conspiracy.
We'll have a conspiracy theory. But, I mean, it goes back again to the standard of the referee. And, well, you know, we've talked about it so many times. And certainly at this level as well, it's no great, is it?
I was just going to say the ref didn't bring his card out a lot on Friday, which is usually a good thing. But there was some horrendous challenges on Friday mostly by the Thistle players, and he was just keeping his hand in his pocket. It was so odd.
No, absolutely. I've got to mention Stephen McGinn. I just think that boy, and I think I've raved about him on here several times, but he just oozes so much class. He's an absolute Rolls Royce of a player. Certainly, he should not be playing at the level he's playing at, because you see the control and just the calmness. It's a player, again, I've said it before, we've been crying out for this kind of player for years now, and it's just brilliant to see him, that we've got him in the side, because he just, with the experience, just takes a hold of that ball in midfield and just bosses it from there.
Aye, so calming in that, eh? I mean, I think he played over 40 games for Kilmarnock in the Championship last season. So John McGlynn must have worked wonders to get him to the club, eh?
Yeah, absolutely. So going into this half-time, you know, you're looking at how we dominated that first half, and you think, are you going to ruin the chances? But again, Thistle came out with a bit more urgency after half-time, as you always would. But we went into that second half, I didn't feel much threat at all.
No, it was comfortable for the first minute to the 90. It was comfortable. I didn't think Paddy Martin had anything much today.
They didn't have a shot on goal all 90 minutes, did they?
No, I didn't. Actually, I was looking at I took a copy of the match statistics. I grabbed it off the BBC. And when you look back at it, you know, here you go here. 60% possession for Falkirk, 14 shots to zero, 6 shots on target to zero. And I mean, that tells you all you need to know about the game.
Yeah. Dominant, really well.
Again, another player we've got to highlight, I think, as well, is Leon McCann. You just know that, you know, McGlynn probably wants to get Mackie into that side, but the way he's playing, obviously, set up the second goal, great cross in, and Oliver as well. I mean, he's played really well in that midfield role that he's been given. Good finish from him as well. Great cross from McCann. And you just can't see McCann coming out that side with that form that he's in.
No, I mean, he's took his chance well since Mackey came out the team, eh? Because Mackey, I mean, started the season on fire. That tackle against Hibs was outstanding, eh? And that's worth a mention on its own, eh?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's what Ross mentioned that last week. You said that's when all kind of, you felt that's where it started from, didn't you, Ross?
Yeah, that commitment, the desire, the you just sensed that night that the players and the fans were going to have a bit of a connection this year. The fans kind of responded to the, it's weird talking about a challenge, but it wasn't just the fact that he made a challenge, it was the determination. There's been a few examples of that as well. Callum Morrison in an earlier game has done something similar right in the last minute, and at a recent game. But you're right, Leo McCann was just absolutely tremendous again. He's undroppable. You just can't do it just now. And that's probably evident in the fact that Mackie's not getting a sniff. And we know Mackie's a good player. McGlynn's had him at previous clubs, so knows he's a good player. But you just can't drop him.
No, you're absolutely right. Ola came off the bench as well. I mean, Burrell, he got taken off, but he'd rather absolutely run. What a race he'd run. That he gave them all sorts of problems. But Ola, again, a player that you just think, he's just a wee bit different from anything else that's on the park. And I think he'll surprise a lot of teams because people don't know what this boy's. You know, he's long, he's gangly. And, you know, he's obviously still a boy. Let's not be, he still looks like a boy. But great chance from him. And you're like shouting. And then he hits it and I'm so unlucky to come off the post for him.
He's just, you know, he's got such good control for quite a tall guy. The ball just kind of sticks to his feet. I'm just excited to see him for a bit longer. And it's difficult because you don't really want to drop anyone just now because of how well we're playing. But I would like to see a bit more of him.
That's why I was wanting to see him and starting on Friday. I mean, again, we can't argue with John McGlynn and obviously the team he put out there. But I just want, like you say, you just want to see what can he do in 90 minutes, you know?
I know. No, he was great. Andrew, what do you think?
I know, totally. I mean, some players are quite good at that. They come off the bench and make an impact, eh? And then when you cry out for them to start games, they disappoint you, they let you down, eh?
Well, it's a guy that has started the last couple of games, that's two 90-minute games under the belt for Liam Henderson now. Thought him and Cole Donaldson, unsung heroes. I thought their distribution from the back was outstanding. Cole obviously hitting the bar as well. I thought it was actually, I'd put on our Twitter feed that it was offside. I thought that's what given. Because I was like, the keepers don't say that. But no, it was, he had hit the bar. I thought him and Henderson in the centre of defence, they played really well. And Henderson looked like he's starting to settle now and get that match sharpness and match fitness, Ross.
Yeah, they absolutely strolled it. The two of them were such a good pairing. Again, you wouldn't really feel like dropping anybody to bring Mackie back in, who did well at centre-half.
Yeah, I was going to say, Mackie did really well, you know?
He did. I do think that's his favoured pairing. I know Watson is still out injured.
Yeah.
Williamson's obviously still out injured. And but really, their chances of getting a game ahead of Yeats, who does really, really well now. I know he's not a natural right back, but he's done massively well on Friday night, he did.
Yeah.
And, you know, see, going back to the penalty shout with him, I actually think he didn't get it because he's a young lad, right? And I think the refs are seeing him getting, sometimes he'll get bounced off the ball, showy shoulder charge, and it's not a foul, right? So see when it happens in the box, I think they're going, it's not strong enough, Phil. But actually, see, if it was a bloke, or like an older guy, I think it would have been a pen. A genuine pen.
It's a good shout. It's an absolutely great shout. I've got to shout. I mean, overall, feelings on the match, guys. I mean, for me, it felt really pedestrian and really, I mean, it feels like we're into, you know, I see some of the matches are coming on. You just hope we keep that momentum going, keep the wins coming, keep that feel-good factor in the club. Go on that run that we talked about, you know. So when the next time that lot come to our place, you know, we've got all these wins behind us. Cause it just feels that McGlynn has really built something there and we've got a style of football which is pleasing on the eye and just, you know, just great to watch and it suits the team. So, I mean, I was just, like, again, Friday, just walking out going, you know, and Ross said it as well, Steve McGinn just came off the park and stubbed out his cigar in Ian McCall's hat, because it felt really, really relaxed, didn't it?
Very comfortable.
Yeah. You wouldn't need to wash his shirt after the game anyway, because he just strolled it.
Aye. You're right. And it's just, it feels comfortable, and I don't like this feeling because it doesn't feel right.
No, I know. But then we've not had this feeling for a few years. And don't get me wrong, we've had this feeling already this season where we think this is it, right? And then we had the Airdrie thing, we had the Kelty thing. So I'm a realist, and I think we all are. We probably aren't going to win every single game between now and May, right? However, there is a feeling, there's a strong belief in the camp. You can feel it. There's a sense of togetherness between the punters and the team as well. You feel that kind of driving on every single game. I think the Dunfermline game massively helped. I know there's loads of critique about smoke bombs and flares and fans and all this kind of stuff, but actually what a day that was, and the only thing missing was the 3 points, and we took that into last Friday as well. Brilliant crowd on the night. What was it? 2,700, 2,800.
Yeah.
Brilliant. I know there was 500 or 600 through for Maryhill, which was good as well, but brilliant home crowd for that tournament. I think hopefully there's going to be 4,000 plus on Saturday for this Clyde game. The players deserve it. The management deserve it. And I think if we can get that kind of crowd in, what a belief that'll kind of give the team as well, that, do you know what, it's not a big game thing that we're turning up for. It's every week we're there as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's hear from John McGuinness as he spoke to Lewis.
John, to start things off tonight, Partick obviously made 9 changes, I think, from the weekend, but still good players that came in. And I guess the opening question is, are you surprised at just how comfortable the victory was tonight?
Well, it did make 9 changes, but they've got a very strong squad. You know, it's a great squad they have. And I think it's a little bit harsh to open with that, because our team's actually played very well tonight. The team's played very well, and I'm not suggesting that their first 11, starting 11, best 11 would have won so convincingly and played so well. But nonetheless, I mean, like, the lad Sneddon was a top goalkeeper last year in the Championship. You know, Danny Millen was scoring goals for Dundee in the Premiership last year. The lad Hodgson won the league with Kilmarnock last year. Brannigan and Turner play most weeks, you know. Fitzpatrick has been playing bits and pieces of games, you know. So, like, lad Brownley came in for them, who's not been playing regularly. Akinola came in, who's played bits and pieces, not a lot. But nonetheless, you know, our team played particularly well, and it was a complete performance. It was over the duration of the 90 minutes from start to finish. I thought we were very dominant. The team worked extremely hard. We pressed the ball really, really well. We retained possession well. We played the opening 30 minutes was like relentless, you know, for 30 minutes. And we had to take a little breather at that point, because we ended up playing a little bit longer, giving the ball away a little bit. And that allowed them in, but we probably needed to take a little breather, because our foot was to the floor for 30 minutes, and it's difficult to keep that going for, you know, for any longer, actually, and the intensity that we were playing. And it's a good goal, you know, it's a really, really good goal. And we had a lot of other opportunities. Carl Donaldson's at the bar, and McGuffey had a great opportunity. Remarin did brilliantly down the right-hand side, cuts it back to him, and I don't know if he took too long on the ball or not, but he's got a great opportunity to score. And there was actually, you know, so many. Delighted with our central defenders tonight. They were excellent. They were good defensively, and they were good on the ball.
And at that point, basically the lights got turned off in the stadium, and they had to cut us off. But I think picking up from that, complete performance is two words he used in that. You can't argue with that. You know, you highlight the whole team there, really.
He's a good manager. I think we've got the right man for the job. And it came out, I like about John and Paul, they're out at the park warming the players up. They're not just sitting in the dugout letting somebody else take them. They're out, they're proper old school. They're training with the players at the start of the game and that. And I like that. It's good to see that.
Yeah. I agree, Andrew. And do you know what else is telling for that interview as well? He knows his stuff. See, when you listen back there, he knows the Thistle team. Now, bear in mind, this isn't the Thistle's starting 11 that would have played last week, right? So even though we know he would have watched their game last week from start to finish, he knows all about some of these players who've not been getting a game. He knows their backstory. He knows how they play. That's exactly what we've been missing. And I don't want to decry anybody else, right? But can you imagine listening to an interview where Martin Rennie or one of the other guys that we've had recently knowing that level of detail? Kenny Miller, they would not have known that level of detail. Yeah. So I think that's absolutely brilliant, the fact that he can do that. He knows his stuff, and it's evident, and he'll be telling the players all this kind of stuff as well.
Yeah, it's really telling. It's a really good point, because his knowledge of the game, obviously, in Scotland is incredible. And it is good to see a manager being a manager and getting out and coaching the players, isn't it? And you're right, Andrew, because we've not really had that. Someone that's, you look at Rennie or you look at, you know, Sheeran or whoever you want to look at, someone out there working with the players and telling them what to do. And we sit behind the dugout and you can just hear them. You know, and there was a couple of points on Friday, he was raging. I think especially when, who was it, somebody missed a chance and he was absolutely bewling.
I think it was the McGuffey one, wasn't it?
I think it was maybe the McGuffey one,
See,
yeah.
The thing is, like, he was being tactful there in the interview. McGuffey, he did take too long, but he took too long because he tried to put it on his left foot.
Yeah.
And he does that too often. And he's not got a bad right foot, as we've just said. He's scored with it before. Just put your laces through it, like, we and I don't want to say like if you were playing fives or sevens, you just leathered the ball. He was 7 yards from goal, just absolutely melt it.
Yeah,
I can feel the frustration from John McGlynn coming tonight again.
Listen, let's have a look at what some of the other guys have been saying. To Homer says, simply well played. First 30 minutes, we blew them away. McGuffey should have had at least one goal, and Burrow again looked excellent. What a find he is! It's starting to come together, boys.
Indeed. Peter says, what a performance. Everything seemed right. Setup and attitude was fantastic. Huge well done to the management, staff and players. This seems a big result. Onwards and upwards. Come on, you Bairns.
Is this a big result for us? Again, we've had a couple of false dawns this season, I would say. But, you know, is this, you know, Kelty and Airdrie are the ones that, you know, really stand out. Do you think this could be a real platform, Ross?
I hope so. Well, you're right. We've had a few kind of big results, like the Hibs game was huge. But that Dunfermline game, I think we've taken a huge amount of confidence from that. Dunfermline are top of the league, been given it all this on social media. The management team has been talking about how well they've been doing. We went there in their own backyard and we outplayed them and outfought them for the majority of the game. So I think we've taken a huge amount of confidence for that, and we've taken it in the Thistle. And you know what? Let's take it into Saturday and let's put 4 or 5 past Clyde. Let's do it.
I think it's coming. It feels it's coming. Andy says, good performance as a team. And although Jags put out a weakened team, it's still a championship team as well. You heard John McGlynn's response to Lewis on that. You can only beat what's in front of you. Created so many chances and just need to work on converting a couple more during the game. I think someone will get a doing soon. So, yeah, that's what you're saying, Ross. Maybe start the Clyde.
Hopefully. Garrett says, sublime first half, controlled for the most part. Second half, McGinn strolled the game. I don't know how he never scored multiple in the first 15 minutes. We had them on the ropes. Keep playing with that level of performance and we'll do well this season.
Absolutely. Graham says, comprehensive win against a weakened championship side. With a wee bit more adventurous play, we could have run up a big score. We're desperate for a right back and McGuffey isn't the best up front. Possibly best performance of the season? Right back, I've seen Finn Yeats get a wee bit of criticism, I think, quite unfairly. I think he's fairly solid in that right back berth. I think it would be good, obviously, seeing what Williamson did before he got injured, for him to come back and have a natural right back in there. But I think Finn's done a relatively good job in there.
I think he has. I mean, the game down at Capello, he played well. And that was his first ever, because he's obviously a centre midfielder, eh? But the worry is, it's only kind of area in the team that we've no got cover for, because Ryan Williamson, he's been here 2 years and he spends more time on the treatment table than he actually does play. And some of the, he scored a great goal, and unfortunately got injured. And how long will he be out for? That's a question mark, eh?
Do you know the club are that the club are really, really good at getting sponsorships. Maybe they should sponsor the... Maybe Ryan Williamson should sponsor the treatment table. Oh, do you know, it's so you're right, though, Andrew. It's so frustrating. Like, you were talking about pulling your hamstring up at Cove. I bet you were back the week after. He wouldn't have been. He'd have been out for 3 months. Kieran says, excellent performance. Burrow, absolutely outstanding. Ran them ragged all night. McGinn, quality as per. Henderson grown into the player. Thought his passing was top. All in all, a good night.
Yeah, pretty much reflecting what we've said. Miss Chandler Bond says, think McGinn has found his first 11 minus Martin in goals. Worryingly, our best right back at the club is a central midfielder. Outstanding. So there he goes. That's someone backing Finn. McCann and McGinn, first names on that team sheet. I would totally agree with that. And the gaffer has worked wonders up to now. Surely it can only get better. It's that starting 11. For me, I don't know. I think all... It's, my questions probably over that starting 11 are... I don't think I can say over because I think he's done really, really well in midfield. I was questioning that before. McGuffey's the one where I would question. McGuffey's the one for me I would slightly question. What do you think, Ross? Is that our starting 11? Maybe the goalkeeper, Nicky's in for Paddy.
Yeah.
But would that be the starting 11? Your starting 11?
Hogarth in for Paddy Martin. I see what you're saying about McGuffey. I think he's probably doing more good than not just now. See, until we see Lawal in terms of... Because obviously he comes on for McGuffey and he does make a difference when he comes on. So that would be a change potentially, but I don't know how we would be starting the game. I think, did John McGlynn not say we were doing a bounce game tomorrow?
Are we?
I think so. So he might get a chance to see Lawal in a starting position. Maybe it'll give him food for thought if he does really well. I don't know who we're playing, but it'll maybe give him food for thought ahead of the weekend. But it'd be tough to drop someone. It would be tough.
It would be. I mean, I guess another option would be if Williamson does ever come back from injuries, putting him at right back and moving Yeats back into midfield. But yeah, then McGuffey does offer you a decent attacking option, doesn't he?
I don't know.
Matthew
says, great performance again. Something really special is being built. Hendo and Cole at the back look solid. McCann is unreal. Oliver must play every game in central midfield. Nesbitt's improving, beg your pardon, along with the pace of Burrell and Cal, which would trouble any defence in the league. Absolutely.
Nesbitt is another one you might question in the starting 11 again, maybe.
Not just now, though. It's just his form.
I'm just trying to pick holes when there's no holes to be picked. That's what I'm doing. Typical Falkirk supporter. John says, brilliant. We actually look like a football team again this season instead of 11 individuals running around on a pitch like last season. Hopefully away to Linfield in the next round. You know how you feel about that, Ross?
They shouldn't be in the draw, but that's neither here nor there. As long as we don't get one of these B teams, I can't be bothered with them. I'd rather go and play a Linfield or some of these than a Celtic B or something, or Rangers B. That's brutal. Although you could argue that Linfield are probably Rangers B in another name. Wee Tam says, fantastic performance. McGuffey needs to come out that team. No good for him. The possession was great at times and a little dodgy towards the end, almost playing into our own goals and creating chances for Thistle. Why is Mackie not getting any game time is the question from Wee Tam.
I think it's just because McCann's done so well.
You can't drop any defence to bring Mackie in. And we saw, what game was it that they tried and it failed? I can't remember what game it was. McKelty. They tried to shoehorn him in when it wasn't, and then it didn't work. So, yeah.
Right. David says, finally, get Burrow on a long-term contract. Come on, you Bairns.
Do you know what?
If this is going to be the model for the club going forward, you know, maybe we start looking at someone like Burrow and start like thinking, because, you know, we know the model is to try and get players and get them on contract and sell them on, because that was the model that worked really well for us beforehand. So would you take a punt and getting Burrow tied up, or you just give him another couple of months and getting him tied up in a longer contract and then maybe sell him?
Because remember, when we had the academy, we had Scott Arfield, we had Jay Fulton, all the boys, Craig Sibyl, as you talked about earlier on in the show, and we made good money. And it's good if we could get somebody like for the local area through, because you're right, it's always good to have one, a local lad in your team, one of your own, like Craig Sibbel was.
No, listen, you're absolutely right, Andrew, and hopefully that's that pathway is at least there again for that to potentially happen. Like, there's a lot of chatter about with Pierce Carroll. I think he's gonna be great at some point for us as well. You see glimpses of him. In terms of Burrell, do you know what we've seen so far is definitely worth a punt. Like, don't get me wrong, I don't think anyone's talking about a Jim McLean special, what a 5-year contract with a 7-year option or anything like that. But I think if you would give him another year, if he's only in contract for till the end of the season, yeah, I'd be giving him at least another year.
Yeah, because what you don't want to see is obviously if I guess it all depends on where we end up, but you're going to have to take a gamble at some point with these guys, because if come the end of the season, then these guys have been playing well and then you're losing them. You know, it's been fine in previous seasons where we've not had some great quality in that side. It's been like, cheerio, don't let the door hit your arse on the way back. But when you look at some of the players, you go, well, it's maybe worth a punt because they might be, you know, develop into players that we can then look at selling on at a decent amount of money. Interesting. Yeah. We'll see that as the season continues. Right, okay, let's go for, first of all, your Falkirk Daft rated from the game against Thistle, Ross.
Has to, again, for the second week in the bounce, I'm going to say Ramon Burrell. Thought it was outstanding.
Andrew?
Liam McCann,
yeah. Again, set up the goal. Good game for him. I'm just going to go for Stephen McGinn then, just to be different. I think Burrell probably deserves it, but Stephen McGinn, I love that guy. What about a Falkirk Dafty? We got one.
I've got one.
Go on.
If we're being harsh, I think McGuffey for the miss, because I know it was only a few minutes before we scored, but that's football sometimes, and you don't Partick then run up the park and score, and then the game is different. I think he should have scored there. I think he's too often trying on his best foot. So for me, I'm going to go with Craig McGuffey for this week.
Andrew, you got anyone?
No, no particular, but I would say the same as Ross, just for McGuffrey's miss, because the game could have swung different, but it didn't. So that was the main thing.
Poor Craig McGuffey, full house for him this week. Oh, sorry, Craig, sorry. But yeah, like you say, I mean, it's probably one of the... he's a good player, McGuffey, he really is, but he just needs something a bit more about him. I don't know what it is.
He'll probably go in and score a wonder goal on Saturday.
Of course he will. We've not mentioned Callum Morrison, but I thought actually, he had a bit of a chicken night on Friday. There was a lot of opportunities where he took the right one, when he just, like, I thought, oh God, because there was two or three where he'd cut inside and ballooned one over the bar. And when he actually scored the goal, I was like, don't you dare. And he actually put it out to McCann on the left for the cross for the second goal. But Morrison wasn't a brilliant, he was okay, but it was like those chances where he just cut inside and ballooned it over the bar. He was definitely having a chicken night on Friday, I would say. Right, well, listen, Andrew, thanks so much for coming on and being our guest pundit this week, mate. Really appreciate it.
Thank you very much, John and Ross.
Brilliant. Good morning. Cheers, Andrew.
Thank you very much. Bye. Remember, if you want to be like Andrew and come on the show, you can drop us a DM on Twitter, Facebook, or email us at falkirkdaftpod@gmail.com.
This is Falkirk Daft.
Right, we're continuing the big question this week. We loved this chat last week, so we're continuing this week. What is your random counter with a Falkirk player? We're loving this chat.
We are.
So let's go straight to your responses on this. A few we did get to last week and a few extra ones that have come into the mix. Martin says, a work colleague was on his holiday in Mallorca and went out for a morning run. He bumped into Arnau Riera. I just spoke about Arnau Riera. He owned or still owns a hotel out there.
What? He's a Gary Neville of Mallorca there, is he?
I love that. Riera owns a hotel. I'm definitely booking there. When he told me he was from Scotland, he mentioned he used to play football for Falkirk. Small world. Big Riera. I actually had his name in the back of my top.
He was a cracking midfielder, wasn't he? Chig says, we're working in Amsterdam in early noughties. On one flight out, I noticed Ivo Dembiemann get on board and sit near the front. And once landed, he was waiting on me at the gate as he noticed the Falkirk top in the middle of the plane. He chatted to me through passport control and exit. What a gentleman.
So he is an absolute... I've met Ivo before and he is an absolute gent of a man. I mean, for a five, you know, for a, he is probably, you know, when you look at ex-Fifers playing for Falkirk, he is the one that everyone, you know, because he's a Dunfermline, let's not get it wrong, he's a Dunfermline hero as well as a Falkirk.
No, he was a massive Dunfermline legend, obviously scored against them at East End Park, so
yeah.
Celebrated it as well, so
loved Big Evo. John says Russell Latapy, and it's shock horror, it's a fag story. John says Russell Latapy outside the old orange phone shop in the town, he asked for a light for his fag, was starstruck and stood there and said nothing while I use my lighter.
Brilliant. The only shock there is that Pedro was never a fag with him. Doogie says James Cragan, David Lloyd, Jim in Edinburgh, and Charlie Telfer with his Falkirk beanie hat on outside his dentist office. He also saw Fareed and Lewis Toshney. Do you remember him? And TGI Fridays. That's a random pairing to be in TGI Fridays, isn't it?
Fareed and Lewis going for a bite at TGI Fridays. Amazing. Wow. I love stuff like this. Graham says, in my fourth year at uni, during our sports fair during Fresh Weeks, I asked Tim Crow if he fancied trying out for our American football team. He wasn't tempted and went off to speak to the cheerleaders instead.
Of course he did. Of course he did. Proper Dutchman there, eh? Harry says, I seen Robbie Butch heading to Temple after we got humped 6-0 by Queen's Park.
I have to say, is one Martel, like that was our club, Ross. Martel, I've never ventured into Temple, though one of my mates did. They were absolutely steaming and went in, and they were the oldest pair in there. And they were just like, this is not for us, and watched straight back out. But Robbie's in there, so there you are. Stu says, not a Falkirk player, but met Dwight York and Roses with Russell Latapy was pretty mental. I was DJing at a club in Edinburgh, and Russell, it was when Russell was playing for Hibs, and he came into the club with Dwight York, and they came up and asked for a request. We were asking for reggae music, and it was like a cheesy chart thing. I was like, no, sorry, boys. I had to turn down Russell Latapy for a musical request.
Oh, that's shame on you.
That was pre-Bayern, though. So if I had played for Falkirk at the time, I'd go, okay, Russell, what did you want? Yeah. Bob Marley? On you go.
Love it. Stuart says, my mates and I ended up drinking and smoking cigars with God himself on Friday night in Harry's bar in Edinburgh. He was injured, so couldn't play the next day and was unimpressed by my tale of own football injury, which was a dead leg. Was that Ryan Williamson?
I'd imagine having a cigar. That would be a cool moment when you're sitting to having a cigar with Simon Stainrod.
You would just end it there.
Harry's bar must be a haunt for Falkirk players, because I was in Harry's bar once and Kevin James was sat two seats down from him. I said hello to him. There you go. So Harry's bar for all your Falkirk player needs. Stephen said, played fives 2 weeks running with Ryan Flynn. Took my camera with me, much to his embarrassment. Danny Mallow and Riera and McDonald's after a night out in Edinburgh. And I met Big Enoch in George Street, Edinburgh, and said bye to him while singing his song.
Oh, can you imagine that? Just serenading him down...
I'm sure he loved that. But there you go, Danny Mallow and Riera and McDonald's. There you go.
There we go. And then last but not least, David says, a drunk Tony Parks hit on two of my girlfriends on late buses out of town back in the day. Just before I go on, why has he got two girlfriends?
I don't know. David's a player, clearly.
Yeah. And they were also on the same bus. I don't know. This is a weird story. He also sat with Colin Samuel in the takeaway queue at Pizza Hut at the retail park late one Friday night. He started for Dundee United the next day. Consummate athlete.
Absolutely love these. Absolutely love these. Listen, if I have got more, just keep them coming in. We'll keep following. We'll have a different big question next week, but please keep your random encounters because they're making me laugh. Absolutely. Get in touch on all our social channels at Falkirk Daft.
This is Falkirk Daft.
Every week on Falkirk Daft, we like to look ahead to our next game, and it is at the stadium this weekend, Saturday, 3 p.m. against Clyde. And on from the Clyde official podcast, it's Paul Shanks. How are you doing, Paul?
Yeah, good, John. Thanks for the introduction. Hopefully I'm still feeling positive come 5 p.m. Saturday, but who knows, given our recent run of form.
Well, yeah. I mean, you've just come off the back of a victory against Carnarvon. Is that how you pronounce it? Carnarvon. There you go. And in the cup, last minute winner there from Big Ray Grant. However, in the league, Paul, it's not quite happening on the park this season. You've lost the last four, I believe, sitting on 7 points there, languishing near the bottom of the table. What's been happening at Clyde this season?
Well, that's the big question over the last few weeks, to be honest, John. The first three games, we should have been 9 points from nine. We were playing some, I can't believe I'm saying this, scintillating attacking football. The goals for column probably tells its story. We went down to Palmerston on opening day. I don't think many gave us a hope in hell, quite frankly, of getting anything from that game. But 4-1 didn't flatter us. We followed that up with our first home game of the season. And that was the first real disappointment. We should have won that game 4 or 5-0, quite frankly, against Peterhead. However, a mad 5 minutes, we conceded two sloppy goals, and that theme will be a recurring discussion point for myself talking about other games this season. And it cost us 2 points. We then followed that up with a very comfortable 3-0 victory to Kelty. And we're thinking, well, the sky's the limit here. We're looking great, solid at the back. And then it all just started unravelling. And it was a slow unravel at first, away to FC Edinburgh. A game that, again, on chances created, we certainly should have picked up something. However, you defend the way we did for the two goals, you're not going to pick up many points in this league. Thereafter, it just got a wee bit ugly. The Alloa game in particular, the defending is whatever the opposite of textbook is. It was horrible, horrible stuff. Ironically, the Airdrie game last week as well, 5-0, I think on paper, you look at it and go, that was a pasting. But see, for 65 minutes to 70 minutes, there wasn't much in the game at all. If anything, the second goal came at a point where we were on top and looking more likely to score. And then it all just went to the wall. I mean, the defending for the second, third, fourth and fifth was, you want to bleach your eyeballs after. I'm sure Danny's been tearing his hair out thinking about it. So we were probably quite happy to have that break with the SPFL Trust game against Carnarvon last week. It gave us a chance to maybe strip things back to the start of the season. We'd changed our shape as well, and I know a lot of Clyde fans were concerned about that. We'd been doing well with the four at the back. We went to a three. It just didn't seem to be working with the personnel that we had. We've got four very capable centre-halves now. Granted, they're some of them in their twilight of their careers.
Yeah, I still can't believe Brian McQueen, 37 now.
Yeah, and unfortunately, Brian, it's the pace is the issue. The footballing brain, and he can read the game fantastically, and he's a leader. You could tell that early doors. And in the four, it was fine, him and Peter Grant as well. I don't think it's unfair to say he's not blessed with Usain Bolt's pace or anything like that. However, he's very good at reading the game. But what we needed then was two very fit, pacey kind of fullbacks to cover in for them. And we went to the five, it just wasn't working. We were getting cut open. And when I say cut open, it was generally a simple ball over the top, and we self-destructed in quite comical fashion at times. So last week, it gave us an opportunity, as I said, just to kind of strip it back, go back to basics. First of all, make ourselves difficult to beat again. Danny's very good at making us difficult to beat over the years when things have been going somewhat downhill. We played well enough, but I don't think many Clyde fans are saying we've turned the corner just yet. The proof will be in the pudding come Saturday.
Yeah. So defence is really where it's at in terms of the problems, Paul, then this season. You up front, who have you got that's going to threaten us?
Well, for ourselves, we've got plenty of goals in this team. That's the madness. Even the last league game, not last week, I should say, against Airdrie, we should have scored three or four. to at least two in each half. But the main threat, without wanting to give away too much of our game, is Ross Cunningham, top goal scorer. He's got 7 from the 11 games he's played this season. He's on a bit of a dry spell at the moment, because he was 7 from 7 at the start of the season. So if we get the service to Ross, you really want him not playing with his back to goal. You want him running at defenders. And when he's on form, he's borderline unstoppable. He's very, very good, Ross. It's just making sure you keep him in the game, keeping that service to him. Over and above that, we've got Jordan Allen as well. And I know he did play a small part in the League Cup game against Falkirk back in July. Jordan's second top goal scorer, I think, now. He's got 3 and a couple of assists to his name. He's been more of a bit part player for ourselves, but very, very capable. Even from the bench to come on and get you a goal from nothing. He's always one of those kind of willing runners. If you need to put the ball into a channel, he'll chase it down. So yeah, I think the threat's a bit more spread than what most Falkirk fans will be used to in recent years from Clyde. We've obviously normally had one figurehead up top that would get 90% of our goals. That's not the case anymore. There's threat throughout the team. Even if I look at young Ewan Cameron, he's a kind of attacking midfielder, can play up top, can play out wide. He's got a couple of goals this season as well, perhaps surprisingly so. I don't think a lot of Clyde fans knew much about him. So I'm hoping the threat is more than just 2 or 3 prongs. We've got enough, I think, from a counter-attacking perspective, we can be deadly. And I think that's probably going to be the game plan come Saturday.
Yeah. You mentioned that I have to ask, obviously, about the Goodwillie situation since you sort of brought up there. What has been the feeling from the Clyde supporters? And what is the current situation? He's not. Is he still on the books of the club? It's all very.
He's still a Wraith player. He always was after the.
Because he was meant to be coming back, wasn't he? He was meant to be coming back, and then obviously they had the whole stadium situation.
Yeah.
As a result of that.
Yeah, obviously, and he'd be mindful of what I say. The club have very much taken the position that we need to move on. He did initially sign on loan after signing for Wraith and the kind of fallout, etc. from that. Following our temporary signing on loan for the remainder of last season, North Lanarkshire Council made their decision regarding that position. And it obviously then forced our hand with relocation. So it's strange because it's been the catalyst for something that the club needed to do for the long-term health and benefit of the club in the relocation side. However, there was a large degree of uncertainty towards the end of last season, which didn't help on the park as well as off it. But the directors and all the volunteers at the club, to the credit, of them, managed to steer us through it fairly well. Obviously, it's a highly emotive subject with regards to David. Nobody can say on the park that he wasn't fantastic. Everyone knows the type of footballer he was and how good he could be. There was a lot of baggage, whatever your position is on David. So, yeah, the club are very much now, even come the summer, there was calls of do we go down that route again. A lot of fans wanted us to, and a lot of fans didn't. It's probably a quite even split, and I don't think most appreciate that. I think there's still a very kind of 50-50 element of the Clyde fans that would have or wouldn't have him back. As we say, it's about drawing the line on it now. He was great for the club on the park. I firmly believe that we were very good for him off the park. As far as that goes, we thank him for his contribution. However, we now need to look at the long-term future of the football club. No club is smaller than one player, or no player is bigger than one club, as the saying goes. And we've got to to now really look to make a name for ourselves and hopefully back in the East End of Glasgow.
Paul, see, just on that, so obviously yeah. I've got a couple of good friends who are Clyde fans, and I think they do a lot of volunteering at the club and stuff as well. They were saying the move to Hamilton has actually been like a really, really good move.
Oh, it's been phenomenal. Phenomenal, Ross. I could not say enough good words about the folks at Hamilton Accies. On a match day, they literally turn it into a Clyde Stadium. Everything from removing posters on the wall, pictures on the wall, and they'll put up Clyde-related stuff. It is our stadium on that day or any day that we will be using it. The atmosphere on a match day, and it's something that hopefully when you come to New Douglas Park, you'll see it firsthand. Just it's a different fan experience there now. Broadwood had its positives, but I don't think it's unfair to say it had far more negatives.
The coldest and I'm not stadium just... in the world, Paul. It's the actual coldest stadium in the world, Broadwood.
Look, I stay not too far away from it. And I mean, I've got a zipper on and I'm in the house with the heating on. So you can take from that what you will.
Switched your heating on, for God's sake, you mad?
Aye, well, I've not told the wife. She's an accountant. She's probably got a spreadsheet for it. But the Hamilton Accies have just been brand new with us, even down to, it's a 5-year lease that we've initially got. However, that can be stopped after 3 if we are in a position with the relocation plans to move to our own place.
Because obviously you're looking to move into the Gallagher at Crown Point Park. Yep. Is that something you want to see happen, Paul? I mean, because it is just like you're the nomads of Scottish football, like us lost hobo moving from stadium to stadium.
Yeah.
Is that something you would you know, celebrate if you moved back into the East End of Glasgow? Is that something you, for you and I guess the rest of the Clyde supporters that you'd embrace?
100%. It's been probably what Clyde fans wanted from the second that they moved out of Glasgow. They just wanted to go back. Now, you can call Broadwood a failed experiment, if you will. It was a long experiment. It was 28 yeah. years. But I think a lot of things people fail to remember is Clyde haven't owned their own stadium since 1930 or the 1930s. We sold Shawfield to the Greyhound Association. And from then, Clyde have never owned their own stadium. So it's near on 100 years since we were in full control of our own destiny. And that's what, hopefully, Crown Point will provide us, assuming that everything goes smoothly. The mechanics of that are fairly complex. And again, I need to be wary of what I know. What I can obviously say publicly without derailing the application process. So, but yeah, we are very, very keen on it. And I'm hoping that the Glasgow City Council are very keen to have us. The benefit that it will have is it's in our heartlands. It's a mile away from Shawfield, if even that, just the other side of the river. It's just that wee bit closer to the spiritual home, if you will. And we're hoping that once we are there, people will enjoy going to an away game at Clyde, because I don't think many have enjoyed it in recent years.
It's interesting, though. It's like, cause obviously, for a club like Clyde, you build up your fan base, I guess, around the Cumbernauld area. You know, and it's now trying, I guess, almost develop a whole new fan base and still bringing with you those existing supporters that you've gained from that area. It's just, it's a real minefield, isn't it?
Yeah, and it wouldn't be Clyde if it wasn't. it's almost a summer thing. If it's not having to rebuild a whole new squad, it's, let's see how unsettled we can make ourselves off the park. But this time, it's almost a, this is it, this has to be it. We have to get this right. Because ultimately, if we don't, what is the longer-term future of the football club?
Yeah. So. Well, listen, short-term future is at the stadium this yep. Saturday. What are you thinking? What do you think the score's going to be?
I would take a goalless draw, quite frankly.
14-5 recent... the draw, 14-5 I've got down for that.
Right, okay. I would have that bit longer myself, to be honest. But anyway, no, like for ourselves, if we can get back to being good defensively, that we have to be. I think you've only not lost one game at home this season. I think it was at Montrose, and you've won every other, every home game. So the task is sizable for ourselves. I don't think that will be lost on Danny Allen and the players. I think we are capable of coming and upsetting you guys on Saturday.
Yeah, complete bogey team. I mean, let's face facts, Ross.
Over years,
Clyde have been a bogey team for us for years.
Yeah, it's been a frustration.
I've enjoyed it personally.
You will have. Yeah, we'll have.
At the same time, I think last year you look at it with the Boxing Day fixture, we won 2-1. I don't think we can say we fully deserved that. But then I think it was another fixture, you cuffed us 3-0, possibly it was 3 going on, a few more. We're capable of anything, that's the thing. We could turn up on Saturday and win 2-1 or 2-0 or whatever. Or if we defend the way we have been in certain moments, it could get ugly because you're very capable now. You seem to be finding the net. I've noticed your result during the week, albeit it was against our good friends from Maryhill. So I was it raised a smile when I saw the full time score. At the same time, it made me slightly nervous ahead of Saturday. But yeah, if you were pushing me, I'll go 2-1 Clyde.
Ross, what are you going for?
Just as Paul said, we're obviously doing quite well at home. So I think I'd hope for a couple of goals and a clean sheet. So I'm going to go 2-0 Burns.
All right, okay. I'm sorry to say, Paul, I think we're due someone a doing really soon. The chances have been created, so I'm going to go for the 3-0 Falkirk. But like you say, I think if you're saying about the defence, if it's going to be Brian and Peter both playing there in centre-half, we know from a personal the pace that those guys have, especially Brian being 37 now, if that's going to be your centre-half pairing, I've got a funny feeling we could get in behind that with Man Burrell. So I'm going to say 3-0. I'm sorry, Paul. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. It's completely logical as well, so I can't really argue much against it, to be honest. So,
being a football supporter, when's logic ever come into it, though? Come on.
Oh, never. If logic came into who I supported, I mean, I've certainly went wrong somewhere.
Absolutely. Listen, thank you so much for joining us in Falkirk. Really good to get an insight. And I mean, honestly, from the bottom of my heart, I hope you do find, you know, Clyde are a great football team. You've got well support. And I know a lot of Clyde supporters, you know, randomly. And I just hope, you know, as a football club, you can really find that home and call it a home and get settled and bounce on from there.
No, absolutely. Thank you very much. And it's great to be on the other side of these shows. And I'm normally hosting them myself, so it's always good to be on the other side of the mic, so to speak. So thanks very much and all the best for the rest of the season, other than Saturday and three other occasions.
Of course. Thanks, Paul.
All right. Thanks very much.
This is Falkirk Daft.
So that is it for Falkirk Daft for this week. Thank you very much for listening or watching us on YouTube, which of course you can do. We'd love to hear your reviews. Please subscribe, rate, review. Subscribe below, like, follow, yay! Do all that. Please do that. And tell your friends. You know what? See, I've noticed, Ross, I've noticed this. We've got 3,000 people in that stadium every week, and only 1,000 odd people. In fact, it's about 1,500 are listening to Falkirk Daft, which means there's 1,500 of you out there that aren't listening. Plus, we've got all our friends abroad as well listening to it, so there's more of you not listening. So tell your pals there's a Falkirk podcast that they can listen to as we give our views on the football. And you can be on it and everything. Great. Tell your pals.
And you can hear John rant.
Yes, you can. And remember, we've got a Discord channel as well. It's been a bit quiet on there recently, actually. I need to see what's happening. But you can get involved. It's like just a channel, a chat group, and you can talk about Falkirk, do whatever you want on that. So that is all on the links below. And remember, we're always looking for sponsors. You know, we love doing this, Ross. We love doing this, but I'd love to get paid for doing it as well. So if you want to sponsor the podcast, that would be great. Please drop us an email, falkirkdaftpod@gmail.com, or you can DM us on any of our socials. Right, Quine's next, Ross. League, back to league. Like, what are we thinking?
Honestly, I think you're right. I think someone is going to do a few goals off us. There's no reason why it couldn't be Saturday.
Do you think any change in the Dickie coming back in?
No. Well, other than the keeper, I think it'll be the same team that started on Friday night, unless there's obviously an injury or something. But Allegri might be back in the squad.
William seems to be a mystery, doesn't he?
The interview with John McGlynn suggested there's maybe something else going on there as well. I don't know. Maybe we're reading too much into it, but it certainly didn't sound always well between the two of them. So, I think there'll be at least a couple of goals on Saturday. Hopefully more.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Listen, we'll see you down there at Stadium on Saturday. And until next time on Falkirk Daft, Ross, Wayne.
Expect the unexpected, John.
Damn right.